Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have been thinking in a long series of messages of some of the things which have to do with having a true spiritual home and family, one which is God-honoring and God-pleasing. We have thought of several different aspects of this, and I acknowledge in approaching this subject again with you today that we cannot possibly cover all of the various aspects which we would like to cover. There are so many aspects of what is a God-honoring, God-fearing home, aspects which we simply do not have time to consider. So I have especially chosen several aspects, and these are the ones I've been discussing with you. First of all, we talked about what do husbands and wives have a right to expect of each other in their marriage relationship? What are the qualities we should have in our lives which the other one would see and respect, and which would be a testimony and an example to the other one in our marriage relationship? Now, this is a mutual thing, of course. Both the husband and the wives, both husbands and wives, are expected to have these qualities in their lives. One would not expect it of the other when they themselves do not have these qualities in their lives. We also have pointed out that there is a danger for young people to marry someone who does not have these qualities in their lives and who will never have these qualities in that person's life. In other words, it might be a very dangerous thing to marry such a one. And even when we have these qualities and the other does not, it might give us pause or a reason even to seek someone else from our lives, from the Lord. Now, the series we're now discussing is a question, what do children have a right to expect from parents? I've noted in discussing this subject that there are some areas that overlap. The ones we talked about, the qualities we mentioned concerning husbands and wives, also carry over into the parent-child relationship. So some of these we've come back to from a different angle, from the angle of the children themselves and what they should expect of the parent. Today, I want to speak of spiritual tongue control. Spiritual tongue control. I want to read from the book of James, chapter 3, where there's a long section in verses 1 to 12 on the subject of the tongue. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a mature or a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor or the captain listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire can kindle. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body, and sets on fire the course of nature, it is set on fire by hell. Verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of the Father. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. I want to stop a reading right there. Now this is talking, as it says, about a very small member of our body. In other words, the tongue is a very small thing compared to the rest of our bodies. But it's pointing out that an uncontrolled tongue, one that is not spiritually controlled, can be a deadly cause of danger. In other words, it can be something which can destroy us, it can destroy others, and in many ways, this principle is going to apply. In other words, it's a danger in every relationship of life. I've seen this happen in churches where the tongue of perhaps even a leader in the church, a deacon perhaps, or one of the Sunday school teachers, is let loose is uncontrolled by the Spirit of God, and this tongue can destroy the unity and the harmony and the fellowship of a church. I've seen this happen in countless numbers of churches, and it's always a danger, the uncontrolled tongue. Now, this matter of tongue control is now being applied to our relationship with our own children. The children need to see that the parent has a controlled tongue, and that this tongue is under the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, by ourselves, we're going to follow proud, carnal, arrogant ways. In other words, the Christian who is not spirit-controlled, who is not yielding himself to the control of God himself, God the Holy Spirit, this person is able to do all kinds of evil. And he can do it with his tongue, of course. And so we believe it is spiritually controlled. I'll come to this in just a moment. But children are watching us all the time, not only what we do, but the way we talk. For instance, a tongue which expresses an angry spirit, an angry or a frustrated spirit. A child sees this in the way we talk. Pastor Heron, a few weeks ago, spoke of those who raise their voices. What a wonderful application he made to this, how it even applies to the marriage relationship. In this case, it applies also to the parent-child relationship, where a parent is shouting at the children, shouting with a loud voice at the children, rather than with a soft, firm, loving, tender voice. And the child sees this. He sees this not in terms of authority, but in terms of anger and frustration. And the child is learning from this. This will be the way the child will speak to his own siblings, to his brothers and sisters. This will be the way the child someday will speak to his own playmates at school. Someday it will be the child growing up now into adulthood and speaking this way to his own children. And so a child is learning from the way a parent talks. And this is mentioned many, many times in the scriptures, this whole idea of tongue control. And David, in fact, spoke of this, that he would bring his tongue under his control. I want to make several applications of this teaching to our lives as parents. First of all, I have mentioned the way parents talk to their children, just the way they give them commands, the way they direct their lives, the loudness of the tongue, the anger that's expressed through the tongue, the words that we speak, which very often we regret and we would like to take back. But once these words are out, they cannot be taken back. I also want to speak considering the matter of the way we speak concerning other people, the criticisms we offer, the way we repeat gossip from our lips and so forth. This is not only a problem in a husband-wife relationship, but it's also a problem in a parent-child relationship. When the children hear expressions of criticism against the pastor, against others in the church, against neighbors, and against friends. Sometimes we use an expression in America that when we eat Sunday dinner, we have roast pastor. I don't know if you've ever heard this expression, but we use this expression back on the mainland. And what does this mean? It means that over the dinner table, in front of the children, many times a father will criticize what the pastor has been saying. This is something which we should never, never do. If we have some criticism of something the pastor said, where he may have misspoken, the scriptural principle is we go directly to the pastor himself. We don't talk to anyone else about him, not to other members of the church, not to the deacons, not to anyone else. We go directly to the pastor himself. It is only according to the scripture principle, when things cannot be worked out, that we might have to discuss something with the deacons. If there's something very serious, in other words, the pastor is saying, the pastor is teaching, the pastor is doing, we would first of all go to him and try to straighten it out. And then we might have to enlist the aid of others. But what I want to say now is, we never do this in front of our children. The children are learned. They are learning and they are taught to respect the pastor, to respect his leadership, to respect his spiritual teaching, and expect the direction he's leading the church. And we never, never discuss members or the pastor or the deacons or anyone in front of our children. And I pointed out in the husband-wife relationship, we should not have the critical spirit even with each other. And then, of course, we also would not criticize even things in our schools. For instance, this child goes to a certain school. The parent does not like the principal of the school. And so in front of the children, he is criticizing teachers and principals in the school. Now, this is in the community itself, but it's in the school the child attends. So a parent would control his tongue. If he had something to take up with a teacher, he would go directly to that teacher. If he had some complaint concerning the principal, he would go directly to the principal. But he would never tear down authority that this child is under. He would never tear it down. Because then the child feels he no longer has to respect the authority in his own school. And this is a wrong principle we're teaching our children. We're teaching that child to be disobedient to his own teachers, to tear them down with his fellow students, and to act in a disrespectful way to those in authority over him. I also believe, even in matters, other areas of community, where matters concern other areas of community, that we also are very careful in the way we tear down those we work with, those in authority over us in government or in the community in which we live. In other words, what I'm teaching you is this, that whether it's in the husband or wife relationship, or whether it's in the parent-child relationship, the Holy Spirit wants to bring our tongues under control, so that we're not saying things and expressing things which are going to tear down other people or other things, and so that our tongues are only used to glorify the Lord. I think, for one thing, we need to dedicate our tongues to the Lord. In other words, to be able to promise God in a sincere and deep act of dedication of our tongues to the Lord, that these tongues are only going to express praise and honor to the Lord, and things which build up rather than tear down. And that by God's grace and by the control of the Holy Spirit, this will be the way our tongues express themselves. In other words, our tongues would never be used for any other purpose. And if in any way we offend other people with our tongues, or we sin with our tongues, then we confess this to the Lord. I somehow have, in my own life, have come to realize that I not only confess it to the Lord, I also confess it to the one I have offended. Sometimes things will come out of my mouth, and they come out of your mouths as well in the same way. They may be joking things which someone else doesn't understand, or joking things which hurt them, or ridicule, perhaps. We do in a group of people, we ridicule a certain person in the group. And we may mean them as a joke, the words that we speak, but I have learned to go back to that person and ask his forgiveness and tell him I'm sorry for what I've said and that I will control myself in the future. So we may fail sometimes, but even in failure, we have a humble attitude. We sincerely want that tongue to be kept under the control of the Holy Spirit. And so this would be my prayer. I've had to cover this very, very briefly. But as we affect the lives of our children, we have spiritual tongue control. I would pray this for each of you, and may the Lord bless you, each one.